Things the Lord showed me this week is we studied Joshua chapter 5 over where Jericho was shut up. Anyway, the city was shut up, and the Lord came to Joshua and he said, "See, it's no big deal. I've given you this city. You know, this is what you're going to do. You're just going to have 7 priests blow 7 horns, and they're going to carry the Ark of the Covenant, and they're going to walk up behind the 7 priests, and then all the people are going to walk the city once once a day for 6 days, and on the 7th day, 7 times." And then Joshua's job was to go to the people and tell them this. Like, can you see me saying, "Okay, guys, the Lord's delivered Morseville to us, okay? All we got to do is have 7 ministers take 7 horns and walk around Morseville for 6 days blowing the horns. And then the rest of the church follow the guys that are blowing the horns. And somebody carry the Bible." Could you see me trying to tell you that? And convince you of that? And get you to do it? That would be interesting. But if David sits in the seat as Joshua in this ministry, and if we're going to go out on revival, I think we've been through the routine with the giants in the land, because that's why the Lord came to Joshua and said, "See, it's no big deal. The city's delivered to you," because there was giants in the city, you know, and it was a big mess, and there was fear in the camp of Israel, and they made a lot of mistakes and had to learn a lot of things. But the key thing in that whole chapter that stood out was the people were obedient to Joshua. And they walked around the city. And they did exactly what he instructed them. And Joshua added to what the Lord told them to do. The Lord told them to do some things. And Joshua, the Lord didn't say the people couldn't talk when they walked around the city. But Joshua said, "You won't say any words at all. I don't want you even talking when you're walking in the city. On the 7th day, everybody will shout together. But until the 7th day comes, I don't even want to hear a word come out of your mouth. You just walk around the city. And the priests will blow the horns." And that was what they were to do. And that was probably hard to do. Most of us can't shut our mouths for 5 minutes. Much less, you know, as long as it took to walk around Jericho. And what we're doing right now is we're going out and we're conquering the promised land. Because God promised us a revival and a blessing in the revival if we were obedient to Him. He would give that blessing to us. And if we're going to walk in that blessing, then we're going to learn to be obedient to God. And it's been a challenge for me to learn obedience, and it's going to be a challenge for everybody else here to learn obedience. But the Lord has shown me that David does sit in the seat spiritually as Joshua. And Joshua, it's interesting too to note, Joshua was 80 years old when this happened. He wasn't no young man. He was 80 years old. And that must have been an interesting deal alone. Then he went on to conquer all these other cities at the age of 80 years old. You know? And the Lord worked through him. And the Lord's going to do the same for us if we walk in it as the children of Israel. We have that whole structured story there to look on and to learn from so that we can go and do it. Because they made all the mistakes that we've made plenty of them. If you look at it, if you think about it, we've made just about all the mistakes they made. We've seen the Lord's judgment on people. We've seen people fall away. We've seen people die. We've seen people come to the Lord and not stay with the Lord. We've seen people cop attitudes. We've seen people walk in fear. We've seen people walk around with their head up their butts. We've seen me do it. Right? So, if nothing else, you can always use me for an example of what not to do. Right. But henceforth, you can use me as an example of what to do, because I'm going to walk in the power and victory of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to pray for people, and they're going to be healed. I'm going to cast out devils, and they're gone. They're history. And I want to see everybody around me walking in that anointing. Because I'll tell you, there's been some hard spirits coming against everybody in this ministry. Not just me, but every one of you. Some of you, the Lord has given you some eyes so you can see. Some of you walk around and can see and stuck up, and you don't see it. And you're just as much in danger and being attacked as I am, or anybody else. And if we're not going to, until we learn to defeat these things in ourselves, we ain't going to be no good to nobody else. We're going into a situation where we're going to be bringing people to the Lord. The Lord's going to use us to bring people to the Lord that have all kinds of problems. And it's going to take our time and our commitment to help them through those things. Freely we've received, freely we're to give. And I'll tell you, I've had a great week in the Lord. I've been full of the Holy Ghost, and those around me have been walking in the Holy Ghost. And things have been going on, and it's been great. And I've had a lousy day today. Today there's a spirit up here that's hot, it's nasty, and it's leaving. It's leaving. Because we started to break it down there. And it's hard down there, and has been hard down there. But I learned a little secret. I've learned a little secret. Every single day for the last, since I learned the little thing last Sunday or Saturday, what it meant when Moses took his shoes off at the burning bush. I never understood that, why he did that. And when Davey filled me in on it, that it was because that represented him being a servant to the Lord. And up to then, he'd been a free man. And so every single day, I've gone to the Lord as a servant. I've asked him to accept me as a servant and to teach me how to be a servant. And he's been doing that. And I think that's something that every single one of us should start doing. Learn to go to the Lord on a daily basis and say, Lord, I'm not wrapped tight. I'm not too nice of a person, but I want to be. I want to be. And I want to be accepted as a servant. I want to be your servant. And I don't want the words I speak to be my words and of myself. I want them to be of you. And I want them to be your words. For your glorification. Not for my conceit. Because we've all heard the scriptures about the latter times and what it's going to be like in the latter times. And it's easy for us to toss them aside and say, this ain't for us, this is for that church, the other church, or some other church. But let me tell you something. Satan's going to attack the true believers before he attacks anybody. He's going to try and destroy those that are walking in the Spirit of God before he has to go try to destroy this waste pansy by over here that doesn't know what he's talking about. And nobody believes anyway. Okay? I mean, half these guys out there running their mouths, I sit them with 5 minutes, I could take a note of 100 notes of how off the wall they are, 100 different things. People that don't believe in Jesus Christ, they see right through it. That's why they don't believe in Jesus Christ. You know? One other thing that the Lord's been teaching me is how would I feel if the Lord, if I was to die right now, and I was standing before the Lord, and the Lord said, I say, well, Lord, why'd you kill me? Why am I going to hell? What's going on? You know, why don't I get one more chance? Please, please, please. And the Lord, well, how would I feel if the Lord was to say no, because you represent me and I don't like the way you represent me? Those people don't believe on me because they think I'm like you are. And I'm not. How would that make you feel, Marcus? Wouldn't make me feel very good either. And I don't think it would make any of us feel very good. But yet, each and every one of us, in one way or another, could face the same destiny. The same thing could happen to everybody here. So I say, let's go forward and bring Jesus Christ with us wherever we go. And walk in that anointing that he's given us in the Joshua ministry. That's what I got to say.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Ricky, just they that wait upon the Lord. All be seated. Hallelujah. I was out at the cross tonight. And I was praying and looking at the cross. And all I could get, all I could hear, if you want to be my disciple, take up the cross. Come follow me. And I looked at the cross and I fell to the cross. Put my hands up against the cross. And I realized I didn't want to take the cross. I didn't want that thing. I want to look at it from afar. I wanted Jesus to take it. I wanted him to die for my sins. I wanted him to be resurrected from the dead. I wanted him to sit at the right hand of the Father. But I don't want to take the cross. Because to take the cross is to give up my will. It means if I give up my will and take the cross, that there will be people that will not accept me. It means that people will persecute me. It means that people will laugh at me. It means that family and friends and people I love will hate me. It means if I take up the cross and follow Jesus, it means those that I care about will reject me. And it means that even those who call themselves Christians will be offended at me and turn away. For Jesus said in his word, not everyone coming unto me saying, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Take up the cross. Take up the cross. It means putting my ambitions aside, whatever they may be. I was talking to Steve, and we were laughing one day and joking around about how neat it would be to sit out on the sands of the Bahamas with laptop computers, cellular phones, cellular faxes and modems, and transmit business all over the world and sit out there and drink a nice cold iced tea. Now, I was talking about, you know, the tea leaf type iced tea. I don't know what he was talking about. You know, with a lemon and sugar in it. And, of course, maintaining that Christian attitude on a beach in the Bahamas would be very difficult for me. I know some of you guys would have absolutely no problem with that, but I would have a hard time maintaining a Christian attitude on a beach in the Bahamas. Forgive me, but that's the truth. But there's a part of me that would want to do that. There's a part of me that would want to do it, and I'd be a liar if I didn't say it. Before the meeting tonight, I was sitting in the trailer talking with Jeff, and I was telling him how sometimes I remind myself of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. There's a part of me that wants to do good and follow God's word and follow his way. There's a part of me that wants to go forth and do revivals and preach the gospel. But there's a part of me that wants to say, forget it. Stay home. Conduct business. They don't care anyway. And all of a sudden I began to realize when I got out back and looked at the cross, there's more to the cross than meets the eye. For the cross is made of two beams. One pointing straight up and down. And one laying horizontal. A vertical beam and a horizontal beam. Why did God pick that shape to crucify Jesus on? Because with the death of Jesus on the cross, it reveals and shows that man's will is horizontally opposed to God's will. That God's will is always straight up and down. His will is for our hope, our thoughts, our aspirations to be toward Him. Yet our will is always out here, around us. He says, look up, we look out. He says, look to me, we look to people. He says, trust on me, we trust on governments. And take up that cross of Jesus Christ and trust Him. Regardless what the eyes may see, regardless what the ears may hear, regardless what the flesh may feel, I'm blessed over some of you. I know what it means to be blind. I know what it means to be led around by the hand. I know what it means to stand in a church and pray for blind people when you can't see yourself and watch God heal them and go out unhealed and be able to say, Lord, have thy will. If I lose all my teeth, there is nothing greater than to trusting on Him. I know what it means to be blind. And I know what it means to wrestle in the wee hours of the morning with the Lord and wrestle through the night trying to change His will to your will. And He's trying to show you the foolishness of it. I know what it's like. And I also know what it's like to say, okay, Lord, thy will be done on earth, especially this earth, because I'm made of the earth. As your will is done in heaven. I know what it's like to say, yes, Lord, and have God open the eyes. And I praise God for that. And I've thought from time to time, what does it matter if I can see what Paul looks like, or Warren, or Jeff? I might enjoy not looking at him. Who knows? The other Lord say, praise God. But the truth of the matter is, there is something I want to see, and that's Jesus. Bible says that John the Revelator was on the Isle of Patmos for the Lord's sake. He was there. He was banished. He had his eyes put out and banished to the Isle of Patmos. Said he was on the Spirit in the Lord's day. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he heard a great voice behind him speak. And he turned to see the voice that spake. I love that. Turned to see. Not hear, see. Old Nero put out his eyes, but God put them back in. The cross. We sing a song, it's called At the Cross, At the Cross. You got that in your repertoire?
Yes, sir.
I want you to play it in a minute. The cross of Jesus Christ is something the world hates. You can go out here, you can talk about a God. You can talk about a supreme being. You can talk about a force. You can talk about anything you want. But when you mention the cross, when you mention Jesus Christ, all of a sudden, you are going to polarize people. People are immediately going to be polarized one way or the other. Because I got news for you. Negative repels negative. Positive repels positive. That's a law of science. That's a scientific law. God says He will draw to Himself whom He will. He will draw them. I learned a long time ago that I cannot save anyone. I cannot convince anyone of the gospel. But I tell you what I can do. I can know it. I can live it. I can preach it. And let God sort the rest out. When He said, "Not everyone coming unto me, saying, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. For many shall come in that day, saying, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils and done many marvelous works? And I will say unto them, Get thee away from me, you workers of iniquity. For I never knew you." Did He say they cast out devils? No, He said they claimed to. Did He say they prophesied? No, He said they claimed to. Did He say they did any wonderful works? No, He said they claimed to. But what is it to work iniquity? What is it to work iniquity? I'll tell you. To work iniquity is to do your thing and say it was God's thing. What was it God said about the priests and the ministers that run off and say, the Lord saith, when I never spoke to them? When He said, the Lord sent me, but I never sent them? What's He say about them? He said they were workers of iniquity. Jude speaks in the Word about contending for the faith that was once preached to the saints. Because people coming in unawares, perverting and destroying and tearing down the gospel. And that's exactly where the church is today. It's where it is today. And these meetings, these whole series of meetings have been for us to contend for the faith first in us. That was once preached to those disciples. I want that faith that Peter had. I want to be able to walk down the street. Just walk down the street. See if I can show this. Yeah, see that shadow there? I want to be able to walk down the street and whoever that shadow touches, they're healed. I want to be able to just walk down the street. Some poor lady be walking along, you know, half high on drugs or something. That shadow touch her and demons go out of her. Deliver her. That's the faith Peter had. I want to have the faith that Paul had, that a napkin could be touched to his body and wherever it went, whoever came in contact with it, demons would cast out of them, the people be healed. That's the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That's the kind of faith that Jude said we're to fight for and contend for. That Satan had crept in to the church as Jesus warned he would and taken the faith away. Well, I want that faith back for myself, for the church of God. Amen. Let's sing that song at the cross. Praise you, Lord. Pick up your cross. I look at that. Take up the cross. Follow me. And then all these things start coming to mind where Jesus said, lest a man hate his father, mother, sister, brother, wife, children for my sake, he's not fit for the kingdom of heaven. You read that to some people, they get real upset.
You mean I'm supposed to hate my mother?
In the sense that he uses it, yes. Because to love God is to prefer God. The word that God uses to love him is agape. It means to put before. So the opposite of that would be to put behind. So when Jesus said, lest thou hate thy father, mother, sister, brother, wife, children, for my sake, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. He says, unless you put them after Jesus. Do you know how hard it is to put a wife after Jesus when she's standing there in front of you wanting something verbally, strongly, loudly, with tears? Some of you married guys know what that's like. To put Jesus first when that woman's standing right there in front of you. Every time that happens, you know how Adam felt. Every time it happens, you know exactly how Adam felt. And that's one of the crosses. That's when you've got to choose God's will over your own will. And your will is to give in. God's will is to be strong and have a good courage. And to do that which is right at all times. That's what it means to take up the cross and follow Jesus. It means in everything you do, from the time you get up in the morning to the time you go to bed at night, is that you do everything to please Jesus. And that's something we don't see much in this country today. It is something you don't see much in churches today, even in ministers today. It's a shame when I look around the country. I've been preaching for 20 years. And I'm not bragging about preaching for 20 years, because you'd think if I preached for 20 years, I'd be better than I am. But I've been preaching for 20 years, and I've watched preachers over the last 20 years go from one stage to another. I can remember in the Church of God, and the Church of God of Prophecy, 20 years ago, where a minister of the gospel, he may have gone to seminary, and he may not have. But he believed that Bible, and he believed in healing the sick, and he believed in casting out devils, and he believed in doing miracles. But over the last 20 years, something has happened. Now they have gone to want to accept, to get acceptance. So now they go get degrees in psychology and psychiatry. And now they're accepted. I remember Oral Roberts years ago when he was under the Church of God of Prophecy. I remember that man. I can remember seeing standing in a tent with 3,000 people and watch him point a finger at 100 people with garters, big old garters. And he commanded those garters to leave, and they just disappeared right off their necks. Just boom, just like that. The power that man had. Power he had was unbelievable. Stand right there and watch it and not believe it. It was awesome. And then one day, he was attacked. The newspapers attacked him, churches attacked him, everybody attacked him. And then one day, the Methodist Church offered him a deal he didn't want to refuse. He said, tell you what, you give up the tent meetings, and you give up all the show and all this fancy stuff, we'll ordain you, we'll see to it that you've got a nice place, and this, that, and the other thing. And that's when Oral Roberts put the cross down and went his own way. He's gone downhill ever since. What is it? What is it with us that we are so concerned with what other people think that we'd rather risk eternity? Well, I don't know about you, but I know about this boy. I'm picking up that cross, and I'm going to carry that cross, and I'm going to serve the living God. If it hoodwinks the entire world, I'm going to serve the living God. And if they throw me in jail, I'm going to serve him in jail. And I'll pray and prophesy in that jail till they turn me loose, or it falls down, one or the other. Jesus said, if you ask Satan to that mountain to be plucked up and cast into the sea, well, that's a big chore. So a little jail ought to be chump change. Amen. But that's where I'm going. As I said the other night, freaked the guy out, I'm not going to have an altar call. I know most people, when they come to tent revivals, they expect an altar call. Now, one day I might have us a jump and shout altar party. But right now, I'm not having an altar call.